Welcome to Conversations with Fifi and TK. Join us as we converse with various thinkers, artists, and experts on creativity, relationships, health, and the quest for a flourishing life. This is your point of intersection between leading-edge ideas, thought-provoking questions, and the creative challenges of everyday living.
Isaac Morehouse has tried just about every form of education, and he spent years building and running educational programs, as well as mentoring students. Throughout his work in nonprofits, teaching, writing, and training, he's seen diminishing returns from traditional education and conventional career preparation models. He started and run a few businesses and nonprofit programs, and he felt the experience gained there was infinitely more valuable than his time in college classrooms. Tired of imagining what other options might look like, he decided to break the mold and launch Praxis. And today, he's here on the podcast to tell us all about it. Isaac Morehouse, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm excited to talk with you about this venture. I had a chance to look at your discoverpraxis.com website, and you say this here. You say, college costs too much, degrees are a dime a dozen, businesses can't find skilled, experienced workers. Most people sit in a classroom for 4 years and come out the other end like a widget from a degree factory with little more than debt and a sweatshirt. And you encourage us here to break the mold. Here's my question for you. There are more brick-and-mortar universities than I can name. And with the advent of online educational platforms like the University of Phoenix, Kaplan University, and so many others, why Praxis? Why another college in a marketplace already filled with so many options?
Yeah, well, let me quickly describe what Praxis is. It's an intensive 10-month program for entrepreneurial young people who want more than college. It's a combination of rigorous online coursework across disciplines compiled by experts in various fields, along with full-time work experience with entrepreneurial businesses and really seeing what it's like to be an entrepreneur. So that's what the program is. So why Praxis? I mean, there's lots of options out there, as you mentioned. Most of the options, colleges, universities, are about schooling. They're not about education. Education means learning things that help you achieve your goals in life. Schooling is sitting through a classroom and going through a process. Education is really learning and getting where you want to go. So think about this way. Here's an analogy I like to use. Imagine if we taught kids how to ride a bike the same way we teach them how to succeed personally and professionally. We'd have kids sort of, you know, locked in fluorescently lit rooms, reading bikes or reading books about bikes, labeling bikes, talking about what parts go into a bike, reciting bike history, studying the physics of the wheel, being told the proper technique to ride by people who rarely ride bikes or some people that hate bikes, and never getting to actually ride one. And then after about, you know, 15, 16 years of this, we drop them off in the middle of the highway with a bike and say, congratulations, now ride. And I think that's kind of how our educational system is in terms of preparing people for career and life. It's all about following rules and being given head knowledge, but never really being allowed to experience things, to try things, to learn by doing. So Praxis is about getting on the bike. Yeah, you need some theoretical knowledge about, you know, why a helmet's important. That's one you maybe don't want to learn the hard way if you can avoid it. But 90% of learning comes from doing, and that's what we're all about.
Let's talk about this getting on the bike aspect. You're going to connect the students with businesses so they can gain experience. But most people go to college for the degree and the value that they perceive that degree will offer them in the marketplace. Can Praxis compete with that, with the ability of traditional colleges to meet that demand?
Yeah, I think so. College is a bundle of goods. So it's a social experience, it's knowledge that you gain, it's a signal of value to employers, as you mentioned, sort of that credential, and it's kind of a signal to the world that you're a normal person these days. That's one of the things you're purchasing in that bundle. Now let's kind of look at the aspects of this bundle, and that's sort of what I've done and what got me thinking about Praxis and maybe you want to launch it. If you want a social experience, I mean, you know, I guess I can't argue with that. If you want to pay $100,000 to spend 4 years having an interesting social experience, I think you could probably travel the world for a couple years and eat fine food for less money. But if that's what you want, the college as a consumption good approach, you know, it is what it is, to each his own. If you want knowledge, if you just want the knowledge, the ideas, that can be had so much cheaper, better, and more tailored to your needs now with the explosion of all the material available online and some really great material, the availability of just books, articles, lectures. If you want that signal of value to employers, that thing that says, I have a basic level of knowledge and I'm a valuable worker, that's really where the opportunity is coming and growing fast, because the value of a degree is rapidly diminishing. Degree as a signal of value to employers. It's kind of like what happens with inflation of a currency. You know, you get these, you know, extreme cases of hyperinflation in countries. People are, you know, wheeling around a wheelbarrow full of currency to buy a loaf of bread. And you know, that's kind of an absurd far end of the spectrum. That's kind of what's happening with degrees. It's like, you know, you're walking around with a handful of degrees just to show that you have some minimum level of value, because a basic bachelor's means very little anymore to employers, and more are not even paying attention to that, are looking for other ways. And sort of that final thing, you know, signaling to the world that you're normal, that you're sort of doing the normal thing, you're not a crazy person. I actually don't know how valuable that is. Normal people are not always the most innovative. Sometimes it's the crazy people. Sending a signal that says, I obey the rules, I do the status quo thing, and, you know, I sort of fit into a mold that's been prescribed for me. I don't know how valuable that's actually going to be for you if you want to really have a fulfilling career. So we're kind of trying to say, what aspects of that bundle do you want? You want knowledge, you want experience, you want confidence, you want to understand what you like, what makes you come alive, what kind of career you're passionate about, and you want to have a better, faster, cheaper way to get that. And I think Praxis is a far better solution than a traditional college.
Isaac, you know, that's so interesting that you say that, because I'm a big fan of experiential learning. I've had the benefit of going through similar type of learning situations. And one of the benefits that I found, I think, that personally and professionally brought me to the next level was the confidence that it created by having cold, hard experience under my belt, great references, and just a sense of, wow, I really understand much more than I could have ever learned from a textbook. And so there's this inherent sense of awareness, I think, that comes along with Praxis. Can you expound a little bit more about the benefits of being confident in today's workplace?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I say this a lot, and I think if without context it can sound, you know, cliche, that confidence is more important than any other quality in terms of, you know, career success and life success. And I think in the, you know, sort of with the self-esteem movement, that kind of has gotten a bad rap. Because there's this idea that, well, confidence is just thinking you can do something great, or reading motivational posters all day and telling yourself, you know, I can achieve anything, even if you really can't. And it's sort of empty and vacuous and almost deceptive, you know, telling kids they can be, you know, whatever, professional basketball players when they're, you know, going to grow up to be 5'6". It seems silly to people, but real confidence is a belief that's based on experience, that's based on fact. And you can see this with kids, you know, when they develop confidence in something, it's because they overcame a problem by trying. You know, even a toddler, they're trying to stand up to a shelf, and they keep falling, they keep falling, they keep falling. It doesn't make them more confident to keep saying, you can do anything. You can do anything, son. You know, you can stand up to that shelf. They're confident when they actually do it, when they achieve it, or when they find some workaround solution and they use a stool as a halfway step. And so the confidence that really gets you places is confidence that comes from trying your hand at something, overcoming problems, and getting there, not the confidence of sitting in a classroom and being told you can do things, but actually doing them. And that's what I think we want to add, that experiential component.
For many people, you know, taking the traditional route, you know, doing what has already been done, the road more frequently traveled, feels more secure. And it offers them a kind of confidence that says, I'm doing what has already been done. I know exactly what to expect, and I know exactly how the world is going to respond to me. And we always have people who deviate from that, you know, the entrepreneurs and innovators. But that seems to be a rare crop of people. And most of us out there, you know, just want to live a decent life. We just want to do something that, you know, maybe we feel passionate about, but if it's not our dream job, something that, you know, that's, you know, okay to do, make a living for our family. Most of us aren't trying to be the next Steve Jobs. So with what you're teaching people in Praxis, is this aimed specifically at that rare group of people who want to change the world in some revolutionary, unconventional way? Or is this for anyone?
You know, I like to say it's for entrepreneurial people, but entrepreneurship is just about solving problems, finding new ways to overcome things. And that doesn't necessarily mean starting a business or having some vision that you're going to revolutionize an industry or the world per se. It means you want to be a creative thinker who innovates and solves problems. And entrepreneurship is probably the most in-demand quality on the market, not just people to start businesses, but within existing businesses. I mean, employers want entrepreneurial employees, people who can think and creatively solve problems. So I would say it's for people who want to be entrepreneurial. If you prefer to follow prescribed rules and not expend creative energy, then maybe it's not for you. But I think that very few people fit into that role. So entrepreneurial, yeah, but that can mean a lot of different things.
Isaac, one of the most important traits that I look for in people who I have around me as an entrepreneur, one of the traits is problem-solving abilities. Oh, that is worth its weight in gold. And I think it's the basis for all entrepreneurs. You know, how can I solve my clients' problems? Can you tell us a little bit about how Praxis specifically aims their courses at helping new people in the world of business develop those skills?
Yeah, it's definitely a combo of the coursework and that business experience in the program. And what I love about the coursework, I gotta give a shout out to our curriculum. It's intense and it's really great stuff. You know, I was, as an undergrad, I minored in philosophy, and the Praxis philosophy module, for example, which takes about a month to complete while you're working full time, that module alone, we've packed in so much great content that you will learn more. You'll have a better grasp of philosophy from that than I got in 4 years. Probably twice as good. I mean, I'm not exaggerating, 4 years. So it's a great and a rigorous curriculum. But what we've done is everything, even philosophy, history, economics, which are sort of considered, you know, humanities, more theoretical type stuff, connected those to real-world problem-solving. And what I find fascinating is I've met a lot of successful entrepreneurs, and one thing that surprised me over the years is they're all philosophers. They're entrepreneurs analyze things. They analyze markets, problems, and they synthesize things. They recombine resources and processes to solve problems. And those are really philosophical skills. Those are thinking skills. Those require some reflection and some ability to kind of think outside of paradigms and worldviews that are common. Knowing what makes people tick, what makes them behave as they do in a world of scarcity, that's economics. I mean, knowing what has generated change in the past, either good or bad, or, you know, how what, you know, changes or movements have succeeded and failed. That's history, and those things are all incredibly instructive. So I think that theoretical knowledge framed correctly and combined with experience is very powerful. And to get back to an analogy, let's take swimming instead of bike riding, I guess, that theoretical knowledge is kind of like goggles. It's like a worldview that lets you see better. You give goggles to a swimmer. It's a tool. They can't teach the swimmer how to swim. They can't help them win a race by themselves, but they sure make swimming a heck of a lot easier and more fun and can give just enough of an edge to see clearly and perform better. And I think that's where that theoretical knowledge, that component of the curriculum, comes in and helps you be a creative thinker and able to overcome those real-world problems.
Isaac, we see more and more college graduates from history majors, philosophy majors, or even some more technical disciplines struggle to find work in the field they studied in. And, many of them feel like, you know, they've racked up a ton of debt to get this degree, and they were told that, you know, if you do all the right things, you'll be able to go out and fulfill the American dream. And now they're frustrated, you know, feeling underpaid, overworked in an area they don't even want to be in. Is that the result of some weakness in the current college system, or is that because we're living in a bad economy?
You know, this is amazing. This is really what spurred me to start Praxis. So for the last several years, decade, I've been working in and around primarily two groups: young people, a college sort of cohort or college grads, and business owners. And I keep hearing two things. From the young people, it's, I've got a degree, now I've got a ton of debt, and I can't find a job. And I'm hearing from business people, I'm always hiring if I can just find good talent. And there's something odd that these two things are going on. Something's amiss. So you've got young people coming away after 4, 5, 6 years, tens of thousands of dollars in debt, with no clearer idea of what type of work makes them come alive, what type of work even exists as an option, very little professional experience, which gives them that confidence we talked about. You know, they don't have that entrepreneurial quality. So, you know, this narrative, I think at bottom it's the narrative that has built up over the years that's a problem, the narrative that if you just get a degree, it's a ticket to a job, and everything else will work itself out. And so what you get a degree in isn't that important. What you actually learn in college is, you know, somewhat important. Maybe you got to do extracurriculars so you have more lines on your resume. But it's more about getting this degree that's supposed to be a ticket to a job, to happiness. And that's a false narrative. When an economy is booming, you can get away with it a little bit more. It's still not correct, but you don't notice as much. When things slow down a little bit, and you need all the more entrepreneurship to find those new opportunities, that really reveals how problematic this narrative always has been. So I don't think it's the economy. There's as much opportunity now as ever. In fact, starting a new business, for example, is probably lower cost than ever in terms of, you know, all the things you can access via the cloud, how cheap it is to set up a website, things like that. I think it's really that I'm here, I've got my graduate, you know, I've got my degree, where's my job mentality that's the problem. And I understand the frustration among students who feel like they've been ripped off from believing that narrative, because they kind of have.
Hmm. Isaac, you know, one of the components that come up in the emotional sense of being an entrepreneur, who the person is, there's a common underlying fear that they may not be quite good enough. It goes back to that underlying confidence of, it's me against the world. Am I better, stronger, faster than the next guy? And it seems to be a procrastinator having that kind of effect on people. What's one thing that people can do right now to put this talk into action?
That's a great question. And I almost feel like, you know, the idea of something like Praxis is kind of that helping hand to say, you know, you need to be able to survive and to be entrepreneurial and to thrive and to create and do things, but you haven't really been given that those tools, and so you lack the confidence. This is kind of that, look, we'll help you. We will connect you with a business partner. We'll help give you some of the theoretical knowledge that will help. We'll give you that practice so that you can learn what you're good at and understand that you have the capability yourself. But, you know, I think there are a lot of things you can do right now that are empowering. One of them being, you know, it really starts with some level of self-knowledge. What really does make me come alive? What do I really enjoy? And start building the knowledge and experience in those things. If it's, you know, art criticism, start studying, start learning, but start blogging about it, start writing about it, start doing it even when you're not ready, even when you know you're not good at it yet, and start kind of testing out, learning by doing to build that confidence. You don't have to put a lot of pressure on yourself that I've got to succeed. No, the whole point of trying is to learn how to succeed. And I think, again, to go to the bike riding analogy, imagine thinking, well, I can't try to ride a bike until I know how to ride a bike because I might fall. Well, you'll never learn without trying. So it's really having the confidence to say, it's okay if I fail. And we've all heard the statistics, like whatever, 70, 80% of business ventures fail. But most of those people don't stop them. They try to start another business and another one, and by their fifth or sixth one, they get it. And I think it's really just saying, I'm going to have fun with this. I'm actually going to have fun with failure. I'm going to try something, and if I fail, if I fall, that's okay. That's part of the fun because that's making me better. Is that, you know what I mean? That gives you a little kind of just a change in mindset, I guess.
That makes a lot of sense. You rung a bell when you said self-knowledge, and you emphasize the value of that. You know, one of the benefits associated with a traditional college education is that it offers a great opportunity for soul searching. And, you know, the average 18, 19-year-old, you know, God bless the people who knew what they wanted to do when they were 10. You know, but the average person was 18, 19, you know, they have no clue what they want to do, and they have an opportunity to go to a university, be on a college campus with other people of a like mind, take a variety of gen ed courses, meet professors, be mentored by them, and maybe after a couple of years begin to develop a more concrete idea of what they're passionate about. How can Praxis speak to that? What sorts of tools or experiences can you offer the high school graduate who's just trying to figure out, you know, who they are in the world and what they want to do?
Yeah, yeah. And I think college, there's definitely something to that. That's one of the primary values of college, is you're in a new environment, and you're hearing some new ideas, and you can reflect and sort of try to get in touch with what you want. It's not that can't or doesn't happen at college. It's more about how much of that you get, and for how much money, how long does it take? Is there a better way? So part of that component is there for sure. I mean, not only the coursework and the, you know, lectures and things you might be viewing, consuming with professors, getting you to think of those ideas. You know, you're working with Praxis advisors who are kind of on a weekly basis, you know, catching up. What are your goals for this program? Are you meeting them? What have you been thinking about? How is your partner business experience? But you're also getting that kind of mentorship and really observation of a successful entrepreneur in your business partnership. And that kind of gives you the ability, you're doing something, but you're also watching something. And you're looking around and saying, interesting, I see what it's like for them. I see what this person does to be successful running a business. Does that appeal to me? Is there something in this industry or in this model that I can emulate? Or do I learn through that? That's not really my thing, but now I've learned something new. I don't like, you know, whatever, accounting or business-to-business software provision. I learn about the industry. I learn about what it takes to manage people, if that's what I prefer to do or something else. So I think you combine that ability to reflect, to kind of think abstractly about big ideas, to have a kind of mentoring relationship, both intellectually and professionally, with watching the world as it happens, not only reading about it and thinking about it and participating in that. So So yeah, it's definitely got some of that. Let's be reflective here and figure out what, you know, what it is that really makes me come alive.
Isaac, at this point, we'd like to, you know, kind of switch it up a bit. We have a set of questions that we like to ask the people that we interview and their questions. And what I'd like to get from you is your sound bite answer to the following questions, just the first thing that comes to your mind and maybe a sentence or two. So are you up for a little spontaneous questioning here?
Absolutely. Let's get it rolling. Big on.
Isaac. Right, question number one, what's your favorite word in the English language?
Ooh. You know, maybe not as much for the meaning, although partially, but just the way it sounds coming off the tongue. I love the word discombobulate.
Question number two, who's the most influential person in the world right now?
Does it have to be a living person?
Yes.
Oh, that makes it tougher. You know, possibly Mark Zuckerberg, just the lasting impact over the way that we all socialize and share information from his innovation with Facebook.
Number three, what's your favorite pick-me-up when you're feeling down or when you find you need an energy boost?
Going to the beach every time. Give me that endless horizon.
Best book you ever read?
Human Action by Ludwig von Mises. Changed my life.
And last question, how do you define success?
Oh, I got to get this into a soundbite, huh? All right. Let me think here. You know, I guess put it this way. Success is a process. It's not an end. It's a state of being. So creating something, adding some value, making some bit of progress every day, that is being in a state of success. And nothing feels better than that.
Tell us how people can find out more about Praxis, more about your educational philosophy, and if they have any questions, how they can go about getting a hold of you.
Absolutely. Well, the website is discoverpraxis.com, and there's some, you know, plenty of information there on the basics of the program. You can sign up for the email updates there. There's also contact information. If you have questions, you can email info@discoverpraxis.com. Any questions about the program, questions for me, love to take them, love to answer them, and I would love to help anybody out there who wants to break the molds and achieve their dreams. That's what we're all about.
Isaac, it's been a pleasure talking with you about your ideas. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Isaac.
Thanks.